So we have a new venue. Hoping that the recordings will be better. They might be, they might not be. We will see. It's been a while, I think. Does anybody have any questions before we start? And as you know, in the meantime, while I talk, you can stop me for questions. Can everybody hear? At the back, you can't hear me. Any better? Anna, can you hear me? No? All right. Okay. Do we have any questions from everything we've... Okay. From everything we've talked about so far? Anything, something we don't understand, something we might need a bit of clarification with. Can you hear me? All right. Okay. All right. A few days ago I was in Parramatta. When was that? Sunday, and then we spoke about the memory of death. Now I looked in the book and it talks about the same thing where we stopped, memory of death. Does anyone know what memory of death is? And we can say a couple of things about it. What do you think memory of death is? Anyone? So it's one of the practices that the fathers, the ascetic fathers, used to do. They would think, they would remember that life is not forever. And in this way, when you're conscious about how soon your life might end, you think about God more and you end up maybe sinning less. That's the principle behind the memory of death. Does everybody understand it? So the thought behind it is not to make us panic, but it's to make us realize that regardless if we want to believe it or not, or regardless if we want it or not, life is temporary. Life will come to an end. And we need to be aware of that. When we're aware of how temporary the life is, we can also appreciate the people around us, because sometimes we take things and people for granted, and when we do so, there is a familiarity with these people and a familiarity with these things, a familiarity with things that God has given us as gifts. And unfortunately, we don't appreciate life enough. And then life will pass away, and we will miss out. All right. So this is the memory of death. Memory of death can be used to help us have vigilance, to help us have nipsi. So when we think that, when we think about how temporary this life is, we don't get sidetracked from everything around us, and it makes it easier for us in a way to focus. There is an icon of Saint Sisoy. He was a desert father, and the icon puts him in front of Alexander the Great's tomb, and he cries on top of his tomb. And the meaning is there that Alexander the Great was so great, he conquered so many nations and so many people, and he was the emperor of all the well-known world back then. But then he died, and he was no different than anybody else who died. So we need to be aware about how temporary our life is. And when we think about death in such a way, when we love God and we think about death in such a way, not only we appreciate life, but we're not afraid of death when we love God, because we know that there is something there expecting us. And what expects us there will be better than anything we have here, as far as we love God. Like all the saints, they were looking forward to the time that they will pass away. Not because they didn't love life, but because they loved God. And this is why they were looking forward to their time to come, for their time to come. So this is one way of helping us to practice vigilance. And the ways that people pray are different. So someone might be sitting down, someone might be standing up, someone might do something different. It doesn't really matter. As far as we practice vigilance and as far as we pray, it doesn't matter how we do it, because everyone is different and everyone is comfortable in a different way. It doesn't matter our technique, it doesn't matter what happens, what method we use, because at the end of the day, the aim is to connect with God. And as far as we do this, then if we need to change something, God on the way will show us what we need to change. But we have to be careful in one thing. So when we practice vigilance, when we practice Nipsi, we should not feel like people that they work for their daily bread. Because if we don't love what we do, then we might start and stop. And when we start and stop, we make it more difficult for ourselves. So the fathers, they talk about three levels of, let's say, relationship with God. And they're very well known, these ones. The one is to be afraid of God, like a slave. The next one is to do things for God because you expect a reward, like a worker. And the third one is like to be God's son, which means that you do everything out of love, and you don't care, you don't have any fear, and you don't do it for the reward, but you do it out of love. The same with Nipsi. If we practice Nipsi not because we love God, then we will start and stop, and we will try to find ways to escape from it. But this is not going to be helpful, because once we escape from vigilance, A lot of things can enter our intellect, and then we will find it harder to go back. So God basically wants us to be either cold or warm. He does not want us to be lukewarm. There is a passage in the Revelation, I think, that discusses this issue. And Jesus is talking to one of his angels, like to one of his bishops. He calls them angels. And he says to this bishop, because you are not cold or warm, but you are lukewarm, I will vomit you from my mouth. So we need to know what we're doing and why we're doing it. If we are lukewarm, it doesn't work. We need to be better than that. Saint Isichios and Elder Milianos, they say here that the reason why the monks go to the monastery is, if we look into it deeper, to practice vigilance. And once they do this, then they get united with God. Everything else, it's like to fill up time, whatever everything else might be. In a certain extent, this is the same with someone who wants to have a spiritual life and has a family. Of course, when you have a family, you need to worry about a number of things. But when you trust God, when you teach your family members how to practice prayer and vigilance, when you are vigilant yourself, when you practice Nipsi, it's more or less similar, because the Christian life, it doesn't matter what you do. What matters is for you to have a connection with God one way or another. So the spiritual struggle, deep down, it comes to getting rid of the reasons of the passions, which are thoughts, logismi, fantasies, and everything we see and hear. And this is what vigilance helps us with. And when our spiritual life is continuous, then these passions, they melt away. What do you think is the best way to fight against your passions? Anyone? How would you suggest to fight against your passions? It's something that more or less everybody struggles with. There are different passions. It could be gossiping, it could be money, it could be gambling, could be anything. All these are passions. How do you think, and passions become addictions, how do you think the best way is to fight all these things? These are techniques. Anyone else? They are correct. Anyone else?
Fasting.
Yes, that's also a tool that could help some people.
Is it to give it to God? Because I know why people would like it to have it to me.
Trust God, of course. Yes. What do you mean by give it to God?
To ask God.
You would definitely have to do that. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? Sorry?
To suffocate anger.
Suffocate anger.
So when you, let's say you want to get angry at someone, you restrict yourself or stop yourself and then slowly, slowly it does away.
But people that they have anger problems, how can they get rid of it? That's maybe a passion. How do we get rid of our anger? Like, how do you find the strength to suffocate it every time? Because having a passion means that you struggle to control it. And that's why it's a passion. Of course, to stop having the passion, you have to stop doing what the passion wants you to do. But how? Like, how do you find the strength for this suffocation, to suffocate the passion? This is the struggle that we all struggle with. Huh? What? What?
To love God more than yourself. And what? Try?
Yes. Of course, to love God more than yourself. But God help us, because when it comes to choosing passion and God's love, it's usually the passion. And then we regret it, but it's usually the passion. And it's not that we don't love God, it's just that we are weak at the moment. But of course, all this, yes.
I was reading today in Unseen Warfare, someone was talking about how when he sees passions coming to them, or temptations coming, he climbs up into the tree so that the snakes that are coming towards him can't touch him. And the tree is Christ. And because he knows that he can't fight these beasts, or he flees, he runs away to Christ. And another bit of it was, you have to believe that God hates these passions more than you hate them. If you actually hate them, but you're too weak, you can't fight them. You have to believe that your God wants to crush them for you, wants to destroy them, wants to get them out of you. And you have to believe, you have to have the beast in your heart, that if you ask God, then he will. And that's how you run away up in the tree, or you escape, like handing it over to God.
Yes.
It's not our strength, but he lends it, you use his strength, you sort of call in an airstrike, and blow them up that way instead of trying to fight them ourselves.
Yes. Now, I'm not sure if this will be heard in the recording. I don't know what we need to do with this. But anyway, yes?
It's difficult, because once you're in your passions, it's very hard to break and get out of that passion, because it rules and controls your life. And it's very difficult, by prayer, to say, God, get me out of this position, and keep on praying. God is at a distance at that time in your life, when you're so far away in doing your own will and what is God's will. I remember this morning's reading on St. Peter, when he said, strengthen your faith with virtues. So yes, I do my addict and I do these things, but I try to please God by living a virtuous life. Then he says, enhance your virtues by knowledge. And so the knowledge, by reading the Bible, going to scriptures, coming to fellowship, enhancing God's atmosphere in my life. And then he says, enhance that knowledge with self-control. And it seems like stepwise, and then from self-control, I'm not sure what else he chooses. But then ultimately, comes down to love. And all these processes, I don't think it's just one step, I do this and I'm cured. God's love and the love not only for other people but for yourself, not to hurt yourself any further. And then the passions disappear because the devil cannot resist.
Yes.